Recording. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Sync for February 19th, 2019. I'm Andy. Can everybody else just say your names?
I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
I'm Theo.
Great.
And we're the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh, man. I said get it out of the way before we recorded. Anyway. Hi, everyone, and let's start like we always start and dive into the RFCs. Do we have any new pull requests?
No.
No new pull requests. And has there been any activity?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any notifications. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was fast. All right. On to the next one. Okay, Pony Compiler. Any pull requests here that we should go over? So, 3009, changing muting algorithm to throttle first before muting.
Yep.
From Dippin. Looks like Sean and Scott are set up as reviewers here.
Yes.
Okay. Anything we need to talk about on this one? Sorry, Sean, didn't mean to throw you under the bus there.
Well, let's see. I need to review it more thoroughly. I reviewed an earlier version of it, right? And we need to put it through. We need to take the application where Scott had the thundering herd problem, right? Mm-hmm. And see if with this and maybe with the flag that exposes, if it addresses the thundering herd problem, right? And if it potentially could lead to other problems there. So it needs to be, I need to check with Dippin. I believe he ran it through the thing that we've been using for checking just simple basic back pressure and making sure it works for that. And then it would also, I would put it through a performance test for an application where back pressure shouldn't apply. That's the Wallaroo market spread application, and see if there's any performance degradation from it. And if all of those things look good, then hey, it's a thing that we could do.
Yeah.
So it will take a bit of time to do all those things, but yeah. There's a path forward.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll add a basic. There's a path forward for this PR. I'll handle shepherding all of the tests and review. Apparently, there's only one P in shepherding. And there's an E instead of an A there.
Shepherding.
Yes, because herd is H-E-R-D, not H-A-R-D. I always spell it Shep Harding.
Yeah.
It's very different.
It's sheep herding, but the sheep have lost one of their vowels.
I know. That's why you're herding them, because you don't want to lose anymore.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a good mnemonic.
Which letter counts as the wolf that ate the vowel?
Ooh. Whichever one is hiding.
Something sharp like a Z. Okay, sorry. No more.
You could hide a big creature behind that P, so I'm saying it's the P. Also, the P is right next to the E that's missing.
I think the E that's missing was the wolf, and the shepherd scared it off.
Interesting.
That's a nice thought.
Just a theory.
The wolf and sheep's spelling.
All right. Real quick, 3005, the refactor to use new pass builder for LLVM. Joe, do you want to say anything about that?
Nothing but a groan.
Okay. Again, sorry, yeah. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Just
no, it's okay. No.
Okay.
If you look at my final comment there, the last word I used is ugh.
Yes.
U-T-H, and that, I still have that sentiment. Yeah, it's slow going. It seems to also have made the compiler optimization pass a lot slower, as I mentioned last week. and it just makes it really slow to test anything, which I'm, you know, wondering whether this is worth it, but still playing with it a little bit on the side. So we'll see.
Got it. Okay. So this is an UGG and not like a Tina Belcher.
So
we don't have an UGG label.
So if this, what's the result if we don't merge this?
I'll have to find, I'll have to figure out how to make the TBAA. So last time I tried to remove TBAA without doing this, the results still didn't work and it wasn't clear why.
Okay.
I think that this would make it easier to debug and make it more clear why. But this is maybe turning out to not be the easier path.
I see. Okay.
So if we don't merge this, I will go back to what I previously thought was the hard path of moving TBAA and figuring out what the heck else is going on.
Cool.
Got it.
All right. I don't think there's been any updates on anything else. So are there any other RFCs anybody wants to talk about?
You mean pull requests?
Pull requests, sorry. Brain. Okay. Take that as a no. All right. Okay, let's hop into issues that need discussion during sync. Okay, so 3008, inherited methods allow shadowing.
Yeah, it's a cool one.
Look, Sean, inheritance.
Yes, it even says inherited. It's great that we had that conversation before everything was recorded. So you're making a joke that nobody has context for. That's what makes it funny.
That is what makes it funny. That's what I strive for.
Well, okay. People on this call have context, but nobody who's listening.
We were just talking for context about how Sean had realized that he was lying to people when he said that Pony didn't have inheritance. And he realized that Pony does have inheritance, just not from concrete classes. So that is the context if you are listening to this. Okay, so this is fairly straightforward. Basically, if you
isn't the name clash pass, Joe, after, like, it would apply, would be quote unquote part of bar? The shadowing checks?
That's what I thought. Does somebody know off the top of their head what the exact text is for? I'm looking for that right now. Maybe off the top of their head what the exact text is when you shadow a local variable with a method.
Let me. I will get that for you real quick. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, not quite real quick. I can only type so fast, and apparently, I'm making lots of typos because I'm trying to type really fast.
Hmm. Okay, I think I see where.
Just cannot reuse name.
It's can't reuse name, and previous use of.
Okay, so yeah, I was wrong. I was thinking that the when I made that comment that you were referring to about this being confusing because the traits pass happens after the password where the shadowing is checked. I was wrong about that. Because I thought that shadowing was checked in the refer pass, which indeed is after the traits pass, but it actually happens in the scope pass, which is before the traits pass. So
it kind of seems like I mean, it kind of should be, it makes sense for it to be at both places, right? I mean, if it's only going to be at one, we'd want it in the traits pass where the full scope of the scope, does that make sense? Is there?
Yes.
Yeah.
The scope of the scope. Yeah. I feel like I'm ready to be a Supreme Court justice now.
Depends on what your definition of the word is. If I were going to make a recommendation about this, let's see, what do we use? Darn it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd argue that, so the scope pass is, it is finding the, it's basically populating these name tables, and we either need to split the scope pass so that locals happen later. Actually, I think what we should probably do is for, this is probably simpler. So for traits that, for trait methods that get copied in, you know, the default implementations get copied into the new type, we should clear the existing symbol tables and make it run through the scope pass again.
Is there a reason not to move the entire scope pass to after that?
Sorry, what'd you say?
Is there a reason to not move the scope pass entirely after the traits?
The scope pass, I believe, is what... I believe you can't do traits without doing the scope pass first.
That would be a reason.
Yeah, because it...
Hi, chicken, meat, egg.
It will... It's how the imports get resolved. So if you're, like, importing from a package that you use and your trait comes from there, you can't load the trait unless you've done the import tracking first. So we either need to run the scope pass again, or we need to have some additional check. How would the additional check work? That's a reasonable question. So let me check particular refer pass here. Because it might make sense to, if we add an additional check to the refer pass. I think that's probably the ticket. I'm not sure exactly off the top of my head, without digging deeper into it, how that would work mechanically, in terms of like what the check would do and how we would make sure we were covering all the cases, but I think that's the right answer. Let me find my window where I can type that in as a comment. There it is. Yeah, I will type that in as a comment.
Awesome.
Okay. Anything else we need to talk about on that one? I'll take that as a no. Okay. Or Joe, do you mind if we move on there?
Go ahead.
Okay. Issue 3003, calling a method by name on a union of distinct types, distinct capabilities.
I should probably stop typing for that one so I can talk about that one.
Well, yeah. So I guess the last thing we talked about last week was just waiting for these guys. So anything else you want to say, or should we just leave that open? And
Nothing else except for the idea that I'm more and more sure that this is safe, but would still like a gut check from either Paul or Sylvan.
Okay.
As much as I've learned about type systems, and I am not as affluent as they are.
Sounds good. Okay. Issue 3001, which is the Ubuntu 18.
Did we script 3013 for a reason?
We skipped 3013 because it wasn't showing up as needs discussion during sync on my list.
Okay. It is a new issue. It doesn't look like anybody's.
I was going to get to new issues.
I wasn't aware of the order. So keep going with the order.
Yeah. Sorry. I was going to do new issues next. So.
Okay.
And I sometimes change the order up just because I can never remember what I did last time. So good question, but we'll get to it. The Libaton atomic cast thing from Ubuntu. Again, that's 3001. This is another one where we haven't gotten any comment. It was marked as needs discussion during sync because we need input from Sylvan, and that has not changed. So unless anybody has something they really want to say about it, I think we'll just leave this one. Okay. And 2980.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So new issues. Calling behaviors from bare functions causes seg fault. That's 3013. Calling behaviors from bare functions causes seg fault. Doesn't actually surprise me.
Yeah, I think it's maybe because it relies on Pony CTX being available. Let me look again at the implementation of how behavior calls.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'd have... Like, there wouldn't be any... Oh, let me see here. What's he trying to do? Yeah, maybe that does surprise me a little bit, but okay. Okay, that's interesting.
It would be nice to get an example of this that's not... we should get an example that's not tied to the
that's not tied to port audio?
Yeah.
Would it be, I mean, yeah, something tells me that I guess the first thing to do would probably be to I don't know. I'm trying to think of an easy way to test it would be.
So I was right that sending a message relies on having
the
CTX available, which I believe is stored in like a thread local. Let me look at the implementation of Pony CTX. But yeah, I think it's stored in a thread local that's like present on Pony threads and not present on other threads.
So it's not
that calling from a bare method is itself the problem, although that is the way you do it. Like from that's I think it's probably the only way to do it from Ponyland. But it's like doing it from a scheduled thread, from a thread that's not scheduled by Pony.
By Pony, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what the workaround is supposed to be so that we can maybe detect that or
I'm gonna hand wave here a little bit. There's something you can call on a thread that will set it up with and hand waving here everything that it needs to be managed by Pony.
Okay, here we go.
Pony register thread, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of name I would give to something that do that.
Yeah, it says call this to create a Pony CTX for a non-scheduler thread. This has to be done before calling Pony CTX and before calling any Pony code from the thread. Threads that call Pony init or Pony start are automatically registered. It's safe, but not necessary to call this more than once. So that is a, let's see,
but
it's not something we'd want to do for all bare functions by default. Because you could call bare functions from a Pony scheduled thread. I guess if it's safe to call it more than once, I don't know, it'd be a performance hit, right?
I don't think we'd want to do it every time. I mean, I think we'd want to have this as part of the documentation. But
so let me make sure I follow this though. So this callback function is being called from a non-Pony thread. It's called from a non-scheduler thread.
It's being called, I believe, from a port audio thread. I think port audio spins up its own threads.
Okay, that's what I was missing when I was looking at this. I was going through what you need to do for this, and I'm like, wait, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, because the first thing you'd want to do if you're going to run Pony from C, and I've done this many times, I went back through and looked at my code, and I'm like, okay, here we go. I do Pony int as the first thing, right, with argc and argv, right? Mm-hmm. In this particular case, because I was actually starting it from C, I'd call Pony start.
Yeah, I think what's a little confusing and what may make this difficult for this user is that I'm guessing port audio spins up its own thread, and I guess there's probably, I don't know, maybe there's a function where you can get that thread, but I don't think it's like I don't think you immediately just get a pointer back to the thread. So you have to, they would have to hunt down the calls that they would need to make.
All you have to do is call it. You don't need the pointer. All you have to do is call it from the thread.
I'll call it from the thread. Well, so I think that might make it even, I guess they can call it in the callback function is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like maybe there's a setup callback function, or maybe, you could take the performance hit and call it every time if there's no setup callback function, but it should be possible.
Yeah.
I will share this information in a comment with this person, and then maybe they can
ask follow-up questions.
Yeah, ask them to share their solution so that they so that we know more about like any pain points they ran into while trying to figure out how to call it from that thread.
Yeah. I guess all I'm saying is like based on my experience other than calling from the callback function, I don't know if there's a lot of good ways to run in most audio libraries, if there's really easy ways to run things from the audio library thread. So anyway.
Well, the callback function, let's see, that happens.
The callback function will be run there. But again, then you just have to ask yourself if you want to call it multiple times.
So the whole pony int is safe to call more than once kind of thing. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, technically, but so...
Are you looking at code that's making you skeptical?
Well, yeah. So pony int, like I'm wondering what happens if you call pony int multiple times with different argc and argv values.
Pony init. We're talking about pony register thread, I think.
Oh, okay. You're talking about pony register thread.
Yeah, pony register thread has no arguments.
Okay.
Pool allocates a scheduler if one does not exist. I'm guessing that this scheduler variable is a thread local, right? Yeah, pony thread local scheduler T. So yeah, it create if not exists on a thread local for the scheduler object for that thread.
Right, and then if it already exists, it returns. If it's already been set up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one should be good because yeah, you're not going to run into you only deal with that thread local, so there's no way to call, you know, on the same thread concurrently. No reentrant issue.
Does anybody have port audio installed and want to try this?
Not necessarily, but I was just checking through the port audio documentation to see. So there's a stream callback. There's also a set stream finished callback. But that would be too late. You want to set stream?
I mean, the worst case scenario is in the callback function, you make the FFI call at the top.
Yeah, doing that thread local thing is not going to be too expensive.
I think before we send him off down to figure something out, let's have him drop that in as the first line in the callback function and see if the seg fault goes away.
Yeah, I will.
If it doesn't, we're on the wrong path anyway.
Yeah.
And something else is going on.
Yeah. And it might be worth it for us just to create a simpler example, just to make sure that we're not dealing with port audio issues on top of pony issues. And
yeah,
we can probably come up with something along those lines. Maybe. Then your code has to spin up a thread, and it'll be annoying. But. Okay.
So I added the comment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. fun one. Let's see here. Anything else here? Memory corruption on Windows and optimized generated binaries with LLVM greater than 6. This is issue 3011. Opened 3 days ago. Memory corruption problems.
Yeah, this is he was, Gordon found it from in the test for it. He hadn't noticed it before because it wasn't running the full test.
I wonder if, so collections persistent was interesting. So I'm going to ask Gordon if this works, if he disables the pony specific optimization passes. Because if I recall correctly, collections persistent was a place where those had previously showed problems.
Fun going on in there. I think John Mum said he'd run into some subtle bugs there that he'd never had time to hunt down. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a problem with the persistent, you know, the data structures is just that, like, maybe this is demonstrating issues with, for example, the heap stack allocator.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of heap to stack potential on the persistent data structure library. Okay. Oh, wrote my comment, but I forgot to use a question mark. Okay, so here we go. All right, I asked Gordon about that. That would tell us more if that's the case.
I updated your comment on 3013, Joe, with exactly the code to paste in as a replacement, just so there was no possibility for confusion on their part.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. So I think that's it for the new issues. Looks like there's a few that have been commented on. 2996. This person. So that's the unhelpful error argument, not a subtype of parameter. Yeah, they left a message about how they think that error could be improved. I'm not sure there's too much else to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that the the last error is listed first. So, like, there's only one error and the rest of it is info. So I think it's like, maybe it's an issue with, like, we could improve the formatting of our presentation of errors so that it would be more obvious. Like, I mean, even something with colorizing, you know, Clang does like little red things for the error and then gray for the info that follows. Even something like that might help show that we're talking about one single error message instead of four.
I think there's probably a big, like, error reporting UX discussion that we could
I think I think the info that's presented in general is right, but maybe it could be presented in a better way. You know what I mean? Like, hey, here's the error. Hey, here's more information to follow through. But it, particularly if you have like a couple errors and you get a screen full of that and you're not used to it, that can be really daunting and you don't know where to look. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't have a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I don't know that we're going to be able to come up with one.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there's not a lot actionable left in this ticket other than, like, generally let's make errors more approachable for users, which is not necessarily something that's scoped to this ticket.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it worth... opening an issue on that, or do we need a pony committee on errors?
Yeah, I mean, we could open an issue. I just don't. I don't know.
Sorry, I don't have a good answer either. So I was just kind of throwing some things out. Maybe we'll get accepted for Summer of Code and somebody will want to work on errors.
Nobody will want to work on errors.
I don't know.
World is an awful place. Nobody's going to want to work on errors.
Maybe we can spin it. I think it could be a fun problem, but maybe I'm just a masochist.
Maybe you are.
Okay. Anything else we want to go over in the issues?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's it for new issues and needs discussion during sync. Anything else we need to talk about? Anybody? Take that as a no. I'm just curious, I haven't had a chance to watch there was that Twitch streamcast stream last week or so where that guy spent 4 hours working with Pony. Have other people watched that all the way through? Like, do we think we've extracted all of the potential?
I've watched.
Pulled up the thing and there's ads on Twitch. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Sorry for the noise.
No,
I think Sean and I both watched all of it.
Yes. Okay. And I mean, some of it I don't have answers to. Regenerated.
No, I can't hear anything.
We generated some changes to the tutorial from it, there's a couple open issues on that.
Cool.
So it's kind of like, I mean, he was doing fairly well, right? Where we just mostly need to do a few clarifications until he got to the reference capabilities, right?
Yeah.
And then he tried to do what he'd been doing before. And his experience was basically an awful lot like what I've also heard folks' experiences, like if they try to learn Rust in the borrow checker in the same way that most people learn most languages, which is, oh, I skimmed the docs, now let me write some code and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
And in both the reference capabilities case and with the borrow checker in Rust, what's likely to happen is that you're going to get really frustrated, you know, and not be able to make progress.
I remember this feeling from early on, and yeah, I've seen people trying to deal with it.
And beyond telling people that they can't do that, I don't really know what to do for that.
Yeah, I don't know that I have good answers either. That was kind of why I was going to try this WTF ref caps thing tomorrow and maybe see if I could at least have something out there and say, okay, watch this and at least see where I'll, like, I feel like it's just hard for people to kind of wrap their head around reference capabilities and to even wrap their head around like why these things exist initially. And so, yeah.
And there's the learning reference capabilities stuff on the website, right? With additional materials and everything. But none of that matters if a person is going to hit the tutorial and start trying to do the stuff as soon as they read about one little concept, right?
Yeah.
Because they need to know more of the concepts. And the thing that happened with him was first of all, he didn't get to reference capabilities till about probably 2 hours, 20 minutes into what he was doing, right? Mm-hmm. So he's already probably a little tired at that point. And then he did a thing that a lot of people will do in that scenario, which is he read a thing, he tried to make the code work, and because he couldn't get the code to work, he kept hacking away at it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And never moved on to reading any more of the stuff. The worst part was that he actually did something which would have gotten his code working, right? Mm-hmm. But undid it before saving it and trying to run it. Mm-hmm. I watched him do that, and I was like, oh, no, do that, no! But, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, I think it's... I love that he did it, and I love that we have this thing now where we can actually like go and watch someone, presumably who is somewhat representative of the kind of people who would go out and try to learn Pony, actually trying to learn Pony. I mean, this is like kind of free user testing in a way. And yeah, I'd like to think more about how to help people with reference capabilities. It's hard because I feel like there's not a good incremental way to learn it. You kind of have to internalize a lot of things for it to make sense.
I'm trying to think, like, is there like a way to present like an incremental learning way and then like also like have like in parallel a sort of like comprehensive formal description of things? I don't know.
So, I mean, that's kind of what I tried to do a little bit in my that Pony workshop, and I've got this talk that I've been putting together. I'm kind of trying to do the same sort of thing, but
I think it works in the workshop. I think the biggest thing that happened during that video was that an incremental thing wouldn't have helped there anyway. He read about ISO and wanted to try to immediately start using ISO without having gotten to consume, for example, mm-hmm. and had no idea how to do it, because what he was expecting was that that I have an ISO and I give it to something else, therefore I'm done with it, and he didn't know about consume, right?
Yeah.
So I can just hand the ISO off to another thing and it will be isolated for it, right?
Yeah.
Which if you do that with a local, I can understand how somebody would think that would be the way it would work. I've also seen in different cases though people try to do that with a field. Mm-hmm. And then it's an entirely different thing where that certainly wouldn't work and you need to think about it more. So yeah, I think there's an incremental thing we can do, but we still also need to tell people to stay on the path for this. You know, even if you give them an incremental thing, they still have to stay on the path for the incremental thing.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, maybe if we had like a working code example that like, you know, that compiles and runs and does the thing. Like, I guess first of all is like, I think we have ISO at the top of our capabilities table. Is that right?
I think so.
We don't have a capabilities table in the tutorial, do we? That he was using?
We should. I think we do.
Yeah.
So if we don't, I have one on the cheat sheet. So, and I think I start with ISO. I think I go ISO transitional.
Yeah, maybe ISO is not the best place to start. Maybe ISO is not the best place to start.
Yeah, so for this talk that I've been doing, I've been starting with ref and val because I feel like people get those a little better.
Yeah.
Like they just, I'm not going to say they're intuitive, but if nothing else, they're a little more like the things that they've been working with
Yeah, if you're familiar with functional programming, you can see, oh, here's a mutable object, here's an immutable object.
Yeah. And but still, I don't know. Really, I
think lots of people that we'd be targeting for our target audience would be at least, you know, superficially familiar with functional programming.
Yeah. But I still don't know if that, I don't know how far that gets you without still kind of developing something of a holistic understanding of how the different ref caps fit together. And I've been thinking about this for like, you know, 3 years, and I still don't have a good answer. So
the table I was thinking of was viewpoints. So that's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's under the combining capabilities section of the tutorial.
Yeah, so that's different from what would be necessary here, but
okay.
Yeah, the thing is, we do have like code examples starting in like consume and destructive read, but this Ostero did not get that far.
Sean, from kind of a philosophical standpoint, I know you and I have sometimes had disagreements over like putting code on the front page of the website. Would there be any sort of like, I'm going to just say drawings, but maybe drawings wouldn't be the best possible thing, but something, some way to try to like show what ref caps are. I'm flailing here and hand waving here, but
I remember very distinctly some images that helped me a lot when I was learning Pony, and those are from a blog post written by John Mum, I think.
Yeah,
which is the first thing we tell people to read, like on the website for hey.
That like diamond shaped diagram helped me so much.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's something that we can throw up, if nothing else, like, you know, short of having a blink tag or something, that's basically just like, hey, reference capabilities are really, really, really important to Pony, and you need to understand this, or you're not going to get very far. And maybe say it in a more subtle way than that, but something to try to convey that point.
Yeah, so what if we took that like diamond-shaped diagram and like had little call-outs for each one with like a short, like 3 to 5 word description of what each reference capability is. So you'd have like ISO, and then you'd have a little flag off of it that says, you know, like read, write, unique, and you know, val, you'd have a little flag off that says immutable. And then you just had that picture somewhere on the reference capabilities page. The other thing that's kind of confusing, I guess, about our reference capabilities introduction is that we start with the first code example we show in the reference capabilities page is a C example of opening a file descriptor, which was confusing, I think, for Ostero. We don't even say it's a C example.
I see that. I should probably mention that that's a C example.
Yeah, because otherwise you think, what, does Pony have semicolons? Like, I thought the type came after the variable name. I thought you needed let, you know.
I see this. Okay.
I have at least one thought that I think would help with this. We have one section called capabilities, right? Which covers both reference and object capabilities. I don't think that's helpful to anybody. I think having an object capabilities thing, which is shorter, can have an overview, covers object capabilities in a bit more depth about how they actually work in Pony, and then having a reference capability section, which is just reference capabilities. I mean, it's kind of weird. I just read through it. The overview that you read for capabilities, right, is... I don't think it quite sets you up to succeed with either the object capabilities or the reference capabilities if they're new to you, right?
I think as a user, the concerns of like capability security and concurrency safety are orthogonal, right? Like,
yeah.
So I think they should be separated. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and this has been this organization of them together has been like that since I first started working on the tutorial. So this was a decision made back in the Andy McNeil, Sebastian Sylvan first tutorial days. And yeah, I can see why somebody might've put it together with, you know, being like, where's that go? Let's put it all in a thing called capabilities. But yeah, that should be broken up, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you're a programming languages nerd, it makes a lot of sense to put them together. And you're like, oh, that's really cool that these two concepts, you know, come together so nicely. But as a user, I don't think that you care about them together very often at all.
Yeah. I'm gonna create an issue for that. And I can break them apart this weekend.
Yeah, so I'd say move object capabilities, and I feel like moving trust boundaries into whatever, under whatever object capabilities is in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then making, I think everything else basically then would be a reference capability section. So
I agree. In terms of order, I kind of feel like reference capabilities should come first, because if you've heard about Pony having reference capabilities, like that may be what you're interested in more than capability security, maybe just sort of like a icing on the cake sort of thing that comes, you could read about later.
I agree with that very much, yes.
Okay, I was going to do the opposite, but I'll go for that. Okay, each gets own new overview, object capabilities. And trust boundary go into the capabilities section. VDRX will need to be set up. Okay.
Maybe we could just have a little floating thing that floats over all of the everything you have open in the tutorial that just says, if you're having problems, you probably want to learn more about reference capabilities. I don't know. I just feel like most people who I've seen get started with Pony, including myself, just didn't quite understand the degree to which reference capabilities were going to be like this thing you had to learn. And you had to learn it pretty quickly. It wasn't something that you kind of put off.
Yeah, it's the core of the language, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like other languages where you, it's not one of those things that you can kind of defer until you're ready to use that feature. It's just kind of, like you said, it's the core of the language.
And it's sort of deceiving because, like, we go through a lot of code examples before talking about capabilities, and we're purposely, you know, we're curating code examples that don't need reference capabilities specified very much.
Yeah.
So that we're trying to sort of like hide them. And it's deceiving because you could enter all those code examples into a text editor and say, I'm writing Pony code. I know how to write Pony code without realizing that you're missing this really core thing. And as soon as you go off the beaten path of the code examples that we shared, you're likely to run into problems with capabilities.
Everything you just said feels like it should be in the currently basically zero length overview and getting started.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm wondering. Like, I was trying to figure that out. I can also see why we wouldn't want to dump that on people immediately, because I feel like you have to.
I feel like that's a good thing to tell people. Like, hey, look, here's some expectations we have, okay? And here's some things you're going to run into, right? Like, I feel like that's a good thing to have in the overview. Like, because the overview, like, probably the most important thing in the overview for getting started is, here's how you should use this tutorial to get the most out of it, you know? And everything that Joe said, I think, is a big part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you add an issue for that separately as well, Sean?
Update, getting started, overview to include everything Joe just said.
Basically, yeah, just that.
Sure. I'll come to the ticket probably tonight.
Okay. I'm giving my reference capabilities talk to some people at Artsy on Friday, so we'll see how they deal with it.
Yeah, I think it would be really cool to have like a video resource that you're working on, like just as something that somebody could like passively observe without feeling the need to open a text editor, because that's something that people usually want to do when they're reading a tutorial, right? Is they want to play around.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, people have told me that they have enjoyed some of the pony streams because they've actually gotten to see some of the errors and then see how to deal with them. And I feel like that's, like, you know, there's, like, the positive aspect where we explain the theory behind everything and how it should work. And then there's kind of the negative side of it of, okay, here's where stuff went wrong. And here's how to deal with it. So, anyway. All right. Cool. Well, this was a good discussion, I think. All right. Anything else we want to talk about? It's 1 o'clock.
Time no, it's not.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. It is the time that is the end of the meeting. So.
It's 1:03.
Didn't mean to be time zone chauvinistic here. It is the end of the meeting. Is there anything else anyone would like to discuss? Take that as a no. Okay, I'll stop recording. Thank you for everybody who tuned in. Thanks for everybody who's here.